This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome to Go Love Yourself,
the podcast where we're all trying to love ourselves a little bit more.
No, he comes on full PVC mask and he's like, do you like me now? Do you like me now? And he's flapping.
So, Lauren, we went to the Bake Off musical press night, didn't we? And fair to say you had the best night of your life. You were in your element fangirling, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I think this will probably be the first and last press night Laura ever relates to.
No, not at all.
Also, Bake Off musical press night is like the best five words I've ever heard in my entire life. It was so good. I had the best time. Now, Laura, you know I love you. I'm very fond of you.
But there's a but coming,
there is a
right?
huge but. You have been surpassed as like the status of my favourite Bake Off person.
Wow.
Because.
Wow, she went there.
Because I finally got to meet Kim Joy. Oh my God.
I will give you that for Kim Joy. No one else, but you can have that.
It was so funny. In the day, Laura was texting me about it. And I was like, is Kim Joy going? And I was like, yeah, she's going. And then, right there, I think Kim Joy didn't get there in like the first 5 minutes. So I was like, Laura, you promised me Kim Joy.
She did. She was like, sorry, but you promised me Kim Joy would be here. I'm like, sorry, I don't know about itinerary.
But anyway, yeah, I had the absolute best night. So thank you. Honestly, thank you for inviting me. Best time. Did you have a fabulous time? Because that must have been so strange.
It was very surreal. Mm. It was really weird because we did it in the lockdown year. So I met people that obviously I've never met before. It was just surreal, really. And I met people like some of the producers, some of the like food techs and like people behind the scenes. And so that was kind of like weird. But watching it was really strange because it's actually really quite true to life. And even certain, like they've dramatized it, obviously, like it's in no one. Well, I don't think any Bake Off contestants are as kind of like, you know, fame hungry as one of the characters. Like, yeah, it brought back a lot of emotions and it made me realize how far I've come and how lucky I've been to have had that opportunity. But on a kind of less kind of serious note, it was really fun, wasn't it? The music was really funny. The actors that played Paul and Prue had
their
mannerisms like on point, didn't they?
So good.
Yeah, I think if you love Bake Off, you will love the show. Like, it's very funny, it's very cute, it's very camp.
It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's Bake Off the musical, and that's what it is. But if you like musicals and you like Bake Off, it's so cute. I loved it.
Cute, yeah.
And we were like proper giggling. I cried. I don't know if you cried.
No, I think I got a tear at
stone,
one point.
Right, good God, yeah. But I was bawling at some point. But it was amazing. It was such a good night. And also got to meet some West End stars as well, which...
Oh God, yeah, she did. She went out to this woman and was just like, oh my God, it's Anne Boleyn.
Right, honestly, everything you just said is wrong. She wasn't Anne Boleyn. She was the original Jane Seymour.
Okay. Same thing. Same thing.
And I was way more chilled than that. Anyway, I had a great time. So it's a very, very stagey day that day. I enjoyed it.
It was. It was great fun. Thank you for being my plus one.
So we are so excited for today's episode because our amazing guest has an incredible story to tell and we've been wanting to tell this since we started the podcast. She was a sex worker under the name of Melody BBW for 7 years before leaving the industry to become a stand-up comedian, and I totally understand why now. She's been in the room for 2 minutes and I'm literally crying with laughter. She is also a podcaster, writer and activist for fat liberation and sex worker rights. All those words I just love. So we have to introduce Miranda K. Miranda, hi!
Hi!
Wow.
That was 10 takes, ladies and gentlemen. That was a lot.
We're not kidding. That was
Miranda's
10 takes.
Miranda's had us in stitches. We're recording in person today. And
this is going to be carnage.
Lauren is stoked because she's finally met someone that is louder than her.
I cannot wait. I need to tell all my friends about you. I've met someone louder than me. They won't believe it. My dad will not believe it. I'm very excited about it.
I'm very excited about your dad.
You leave Gav alone.
Gav.
Oh. Don't stop it. How did that happen? We have been recording for 10 seconds and we've gone to Pervin on my father.
What did you think was going to happen?
in.
Right, I know that I'm going to have to be the one to rein you two
in. Yeah, no, I'm going
to I am. I'm going to have to be bad cop today.
You be bad cop, I'll be good cop.
Okay, all right.
Love it. I'll be naughty cop. Oh.
It's all right, I've already got the uniform and the handcuffs, so it's fine.
Of course you have. Course
you have. I have just got so many questions, but right. We need to start.
Miranda, we have a new segment on our podcast, which basically, if we don't like something or a person, we tell them to go and eat a bag of dicks. Mm. So is there anything that's kind of like riled you or annoyed you that you want to put in the bag of dicks for this episode?
Oh my God, there's so much. I can only think of what's like basically happened today. So I ride a moped in London. I rode on my little bike to come in to see you guys today. And when I first got it, because my friend, he's a proper like biker. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh yeah, you know, do you know what? We'll set you up with all the gear. We'll give you you've got to get the waterproofs and you've got to get the leathers and all that, you know, just make sure you're safe. And I'm like, where am I going to get that from? Simply B. Oh, really? Oh, is yours clothing going into motorbike gear now? Lovely. So my bag of dicks is going to be filled with basic safety stuff that isn't made for fat people.
Yeah.
Like we can't even get seat belts that are tested on women. Because they can't be asked to make safety dummies with tits. Yeah. The best kind of safety dummies. So let alone getting one in a size 20, like above a size 24 and into someone that looks like me. I can't find a safety gear that in my size at all. So my bag of dicks is going to be filled with the fact that we can't have the most basic safety equipment just because our size.
This is so true. And now I hate everything.
I had actually considered that. We talk a lot about plus size fashion and how inaccessible it is, but also even like above a sort of 32, I mean, yeah, we all need clothes, but it's not a safety issue. Like, the fact that you're riding not safe, like, that's scary.
All I've got is like two pairs of leggings and a pair of jeans on, and that is the most like thing that I can find to keep my legs safe because I can't find like actual biker leathers. I mean, it is only a 125, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not think of me riding, you know, like easy rider on a proper motorbike. Oh, hello.
Well, I didn't know what the words were. It's a moped. I'm hoping you've got a little cart on the side.
I do. And I've also got a little Wallace in there as well.
You do. She's got a little Wallace and Gromit. I go around with it all the time.
You can sit in there if you want.
You two. Well, no, right, stop it. Get a room, you two. Honestly. Stop it.
I don't even know how to start this. I'm so excited. We have got a million questions. I want to know everything about you, basically. Do we start there?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about you and how you, like, got into sex work, first of all, if that's okay.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a, like, round story, just like me. So I basically wanted to go into comedy. I wanted to go into comedy and I wanted to go into acting when I was younger. So I did all that at school and at college and everything. And then on my last day, I'd done all this training. I was really good. I'd gotten some really good top score marks. But on my last day, as we were all leaving, one of the tutors turned around and said to me, but of course, you know, you don't get large leading ladies. On my last day, like, I've been doing this. Like, I was passionate about it. I was good at it. And it just sunk me. Mm. So I went backstage. Like, my college also offered a backstage course. So I started doing radio production because it just sort of defeated me.
The metaphor, I can't even.
I know. But I really loved doing radio. Mm. And so I moved up to London to come and do that. But again, as we often find with fat people, is that getting a job is harder. Mm. And I started doing work experience, and I do work experience with smaller people who were rubbish at their job. I was the one going, yes, I'd been trained to say yes to everything. Mm. Like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll get it done. And I was there at weekends and everything. But it was the smaller people who got the jobs. Like, at the end of my 2 months or whatever, it was like, oh, well, thanks. But hey, we need a receptionist. Do you want to be a receptionist? Because you're bubbly.
Bubbly.
Yeah. I hate that word.
Yeah.
Hate it.
So even though I'm creative and I am larger than life and I think I am funny, but because of bubbly, I got put on reception rather than actual production. Mm. So I got really downhearted with it. And I was also in London. I was also by myself. I started going on dating websites and I found that where I'd been in my own small town, everyone knew everyone else. Mm. So none of the guys were really like coming on to me or anything like that. But it was when I moved to London, it was like, oh my God, I suddenly discovered this term, BBW, big, beautiful women, and all the dating sites and all the chat rooms. So I started going on those and meeting guys, but it would all be like one night stands and it would never be like, you know, actual proper going out with people. Mm. And then after a while, you get more and more into it and you discover that there are models online and there are people doing other things, and eventually found that there were escorts, and I realised that I'd been doing something that they'd been getting paid for. So
for free?
For free!
In this economy?
Exactly! Exactly! So I thought, well, fuck it. I'll just give it a go. I was in a job that I didn't like. I was getting paid nothing. I was in a flat. I wasn't even a flat. It was a box room. And I just thought, do you know what? I'll give it a go. And yeah. I did. And it was, I fucking loved it.
Really? I just right from the offset?
Right from the offset. I really loved it because it was guys coming to me and treating me like a luxury. And that was something I'd never had before. Mm. I'd only had guys coming to me and treating me like I was a fetish. I was you know, just something to try.
Yeah.
Like one of the guys that I went out with for like one day said, oh yeah, like fat girls are just like your like a moped, aren't they? You always want to ride one, but you don't want your mates to see you with it, you know.
Oh my God, with it. This is so angry, yeah.
This is why I started charging.
I understand.
Yeah. And I just took it from there from my first appointment. It was in the Dorchester Hotel.
This one?
Oh no! I was like 23 at the time. I'm a lot older now, but I was worth it. Let's just say that. It was just great fun. Also, because there was only a handful of plus size women, and we all stuck together. So there was about 12 people.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
It was really cool
to have like a little like network of girls like all supporting you. And
yeah,
stuff. I guess it can be quite scary.
It was.
To start.
Yeah, because you do. I'm not going to lie. There are terrible things that can happen, and you know, I'm not pushing that aside at all. And that's something where I think that sex worker rights really is helping people, because we're trying to decriminalise it, so it makes it safer everyone, whether you're a consensual sex worker, sex work, you're doing sex work to survive, any of the gamut for that.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Especially, I was reading recently that in the current climate, with the costy lives. With
Did you just call it costy lives? amateurs.
Especially with the cosy lives and everything, like there's a lot of people that are either returning to or starting sex work for the same time. And I think that is why it is more important than ever that it is made legal and made safe.
Yes. That's what, because we tried, when I started working, it was like 2003, 2004, and we set up our own buddy system.
Oh, nice.
So that we could have a bit of safety, because the internet was still, it was still very new.
Yeah.
We didn't have Messenger, we didn't have WhatsApp on our phone. It was all, you had to give your phone numbers, and, you know. So one of the women set up a buddy system, and some of those women I'm still great friends with today. But there was a massive difference between the early 2000s to 2008 when we had the big economy crash. And that was when it went from 12 people that I knew to thousands.
Really?
And it wasn't just the amount of women and plus size women that were working, it was the amount of listing sites, the amount of I think that websites are great, so it's not that, it's just the amount of them and the amount of people that it's like. I've got more of a problem with Silicon Valley taking advantage of making these listing sites and causing these women to have to pay to be on these sites rather than have their own websites and be able to advertise for free.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a massive, massive flood of people after the world economy crash. That's always just been the same. It's just been climbing, climbing, climbing ever since.
Oh my goodness. I hadn't even thought about the 2008 crash. That's mad.
That's showing my age.
So now I remember I was at uni. At the time you come out of uni and the credit crunch, you're like, what the hell? What is this madness? So how long did you do it for, and did you make lots of bank?
I did it for about 7 to 10 years. I made enough bank to live.
Yeah.
Because let's not forget, I am very lazy. I did a whole, this was what was so good. I did a whole comedy called Slaving Away that's available on Audible. And it is about the laziest dominatrix in London, because I am...
I love you even more.
I was super lazy, super picky. I was just, I lived with a flatmate to keep my costs down, lovely Dan. All I've ever wanted in life is to never have to wake up to an alarm clock Monday to Friday and commute and have to pay £7 for a prep. Like, I just want to have my own job in my own time. And that was what it afforded me. I don't have an expensive car. I don't have an expensive house. I just wanted to make enough to live. And that was what I did. I'm not a saver. I'm a liver.
Oh my God.
You too, honestly.
Sorry, looking at Lauren's twin.
So did you find it empowering? Like, because I know, I think there is like a perception of sex work and a certain stigma around it as well of like objectifying women, and that it's like a bit seedy potentially as well. It sounds like you were in control and it was on your terms and it was a way for you to live. And I think that's
so empowering.
I love taking that narrative of like taking back that rather than it being something that kind of makes women like derogatory or, you know, sex slaves or whatever.
Because people don't realise that the independent women. So when it comes to empowerment, for me, what I felt empowered by was the sex. I felt sexually empowered. Mm. And I also felt empowered because for me, I was setting up my own business. Mm. So I learned how to make a website. I learned how to do my accounts. I learned about tax. I learned what was tax deductible. That's the thing that no one thinks about. And it's, you know, we are business women and we are business people making our living, doing a budget, setting our times. This is one of the things that I felt most empowered by, was being able to put up my junk on the internet, my feature on my website, and have my do's and my don'ts list. Right. The amount of people that I speak to, and the amount of, especially women, that are like, oh, but what if they did this and you didn't like it? You tell them you don't like it from the offset. I have a do's and a don'ts list.
What was on your don'ts list?
Anal.
That was so quick. I knew that was coming.
I didn't know that was coming. Okay, cool.
Anything up the arse. No.
No butt stuff.
Happy to do it on them. It's just not happening on me.
I understand.
And there is a lot of people who want it done on them. Like,
they do. The boys bloody love
they
it.
Fight. They fucking
let me, honestly. And it's always the guys that are like, you know, the real like hetero.
Yeah.
It is.
And if you did it to them, obviously consensually, they would fucking love it.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So, but to them, not to you.
Yes. Anything without a condom, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
Anything that can be sort of illegal. So I wouldn't do like role play, like, you know, involving anything underage, anything bestiality, anything like that. I had one guy who wanted me to film a video of me squashing worms and stuff under my feet. I was like, no!
That's intense.
That is intense. But so what I did instead was I got a little, one of those Malteser rabbits. And I squashed that instead.
Was he happy? Was he satisfied?
Little gummy worms and Malteser rabbits. I'll do that, but not actual.
I love that. The creative solution.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Someone's going to love it. He might not, but someone will.
It's time for a quick break so we can tell you about Gusto. Gusto gives you everything you need to create incredible home-cooked meals, including exactly the right portions of fresh, high-quality ingredients, so you won't be wasting loads of food. Choosing what to cook, getting all the ingredients, and having to buy way too much of everything for just one person makes cooking so much more complicated than it has to be. So Gusto is a great option if you want to get more into cooking. There's also so much to choose from. They have over 250 recipes a month for you to try, including things like stuffing crushed chicken with butterfly veg and onion gravy. Oh my God, that sounds so good. Crispy chili beef udon and sweet and smoky chicken fajitas. I love fajitas. They're my favorite. Head to gusto.co.uk and use code LOVE, L-O-V-E, for 60% off your first box and 25% off all boxes for 2 months.
So I'd love to know your thoughts on the term BBW, because we touched upon like fetishization. Yeah. It is so hard for me, Lauren, to say that.
Because
I'm very proud of myself. How do you feel about it? And what's the general vibe in that world around it?
Because I'm over 40, I know.
I didn't even have a chance to tell you how amazing you look. Go on.
It's all the cake.
Fat don't crack.
Exactly. Because I'm over 40, the term BBW was my first term. That was the first term that wasn't derogatory. So I feel protective about it.
Okay.
So when I hear younger people today and they're like, oh, but that's, oh, no, the term BBW, no, that's gross. And it's like, but that was the only term that I had growing up. And that was the only term that a lot of people had when they were growing up. BBW was coined in like 1996 by the fat liberation of the time. I mean, there were fat liberationists, but that was more over in America. But in England, we had a magazine called Big Beautiful Woman. And that was set up by people who were trying to put fat women more into the mainstream. So they didn't have terms like body positivity. They didn't have terms like fat liberation. All they knew was BBW, big beautiful women. It was the only, so I feel quite protective of the term.
When I was dating like 10 years ago, and the term like BBW was kind of thrown around, like you were sort of saying, like more recently, Lauren, it kind of felt a bit like I was being fetishized.
Yeah.
And like, it's only really recently that we both of us realized actually you can just have a preference.
Yeah.
But I think being labelled as that, like I always just say, like, oh, I just want someone to love me for me and not because they love big, beautiful women.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like being put in that pigeonhole, but it's really interesting to hear it from your perspective of how like you felt empowered by it. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? We talk all the time about the importance of language, like the word fat, for example. For some people, it is a very, for such a small word, it holds a lot of power, but people are trying to reclaim it, aren't they, by using it openly rather than plus size, voluptuous, whatever. So it's really interesting.
And it's also context. Like if I see a bloke saying, oh, I love BBW, then I'm like, go fuck yourself.
That's
the context. But if it's like a woman who's saying, oh, I'm a BBW, then come
more
on
power
board.
To you. Yes.
It's the con, like blokes will say BBW, I think, because they don't educate themselves. Yeah. So they don't know about fat liberation. And when they do, but ladies, we can use that as a filter. So when you see a bloke saying, oh, I like BBW, you know that he's not educated himself about fat liberation. Mm. You know that he's not, you know, he's looking at the BBW section of porn sites because that's what has made. That's what's made it such a derogatory term now in, you know, in a lot of people's eyes. It is more about the context. Like blokes who say I love a BBW, I don't even let them anywhere near me.
No, I see them on so when I started dating properly again, like last year, I'd see like things like love curvy girls, love BBW on dating profiles, and I'd swipe, which is no,
left
and be like, no, see you later, bye. And then you know, learning a little bit more, I'm like, I don't mind if they say I like bigger girls, I like curvy girls, but I'm with you, it's the BBW if you say it on there, because I think for the guys in my age bracket that I'm looking at, they got that term from porn.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
They got that term from porn. That's, or pretty derogatory rap and hip hop and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just not the vibe I'm after. So if we can get back to like, excuse the pun, but now it's in my head and I can't say anything else, the ins and outs of sex work. Right? This is the inevitable question that we're going to ask you, that you will get asked all the time, that we know our listeners will want to know.
Yeah.
The best story.
The money slaves. Oh my God.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh. Come on. Money slaves.
Money slaves. Yeah. So there's financial domination, and it's changed a lot in years. So when I was doing it, it was very much like in person. And this is how I, when we talk about empowerment, this was a real big lesson for me. So this guy, he wanted to be financially dominated, which basically meant that he wanted to pay for my time, but then he wanted to take me shopping and he wanted to like just spend loads of money on me and then take me back to his house, where he basically, like, I have to catch him wanking on his wife's knickers. Like, you know, fair play, whatever.
But so blasé about it. Just such, I'm like, okay.
You look cool. Oh, you're wanking on his wife's knickers.
Yes, wanking on his wife's knickers. Yes, 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 yes. I love this so much.
It was great fun, but it was like, so I met him at Marble Arch tube station. What I should have said was, right, well, you've got to hire a car to pick me up from my house, and then do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Hell
so
yeah.
My first financial domination session was an absolute disaster. No wonder he didn't invite me back, because I didn't spend enough money. I was going in the sales section. I was going into Evan's sales section.
Absolutely not.
Oh, this is how old it was. I was going into HMV sales section. HMV. There's a blast from the past. I was going into like, going, oh, well, I just just get this. Whereas what I should have done was I should have said, I want a car. I want you to, you know, drive me from shop to shop. You're carrying this, and just gone absolutely wild. So I
the dream.
I know. Yeah. And I only learnt that after I'd spoken to, well, like I said, like one of the other girls that was doing it. And she's like, oh, yeah, I got a lovely pair of Louis Vuittons the other day from someone. And I'm like, oh, well.
I've got Celine Dion CD. And a cold shoulder bath light on. Yeah. Heavens, fuck.
I got another bath light on.
Changed or what?
Yeah. What? I know. So always, if someone says they're going to spend money, you spend that money. Spend all of it. Here's the thing about financial domination. They are not interested in getting you what you need. They're interested in getting you what you want. So you can basically, it's the opposite.
So it'll be like M&S, undies. Yeah. And yeah. Like, oh, I really need
some new cleanser.
Exactly.
Love that.
Oh, I just need some cleanser and like, and some cat food. But no, that's fine. I'll just take the bottle of Veuve Clicquot. That's okay. I'll just have the Moët.
I have to.
All I wanted was like some coffee granules and some bin liners. But no, that's fine. Another Rolex. Oh. I'll just eat that then. Don't worry about it. It's the opposite. The lemonade lifestyle champagne budget. Yeah. It's like champagne lifestyle, but like you just want a glass of lemonade.
That's mad.
So you had to take, and sometimes it can be, you have to show you're spending all this money. Yeah. So it's like nowadays we're used to Zoom. So we're used to going, well, let's get a nice little plain background and all this. But back in the day, you didn't have that. You didn't have a background on your phone or on your computer. So you'd have to sort of like improvise. And when you're living in a two-bedroom flat in East Finchley, you know, it's not exactly the Maldives. So you do have to kind of like be a bit creative with your background to show, oh yeah, you know, I'm so rich and fabulous, blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, I'm trying to kick my cat off my lap. One guy wanted me to smoke and all I had was roll-ups, and that was very disappointing. One of the sort of like biggest learning lessons, because I used to do phone sex as well, and this is one big lesson I always say to people: if you're going to do phone sex, if you're getting paid by the minute, you can treat phone sex like you treat improvisation. You just use the yes and rule. So, are you into tickling? Are you into tickling?
Yes, and I love it on my back.
Oh, lovely.
Am I employed? Did I get the job? I think I love it on my back wasn't quite as sexy, but yeah, we'll carry on. It's the first audition.
No, but we do know a lot more about you now, so that's quite good. But I used to be like, oh, do you like tickling? And I used to be like, oh, I could take it or leave it. How long do you reckon they stick around after that?
True.
Not long.
Yes,
so,
and that is a good tip for just general sort of sexting, for
you
sure.
You can go pretty far, because at the end of the day, it's all made up. But if you're sexting, like, you know, don't feel like you're pressured into, you don't have to go into murky waters. But you can certainly, you know, have a bit of fun. Yeah, because it's all made up. It's like an animation, isn't it?
Literally. What other story?
So I used to do it so that they'd come to me, do an in-call. And after a while, if we had been comfortable, if they'd come for a few sessions and we were comfortable, then I'd go and do an out-call for them. So this one guy, he'd been a regular. I did an out-call with him to his house. And that was when things got a little bit freaky-deaky. He'd been really nice at mine. It'd been really straightforward. It'd been sex. These guys are so into giving us pleasure. Like, it was more about them with their hair between my legs.
Men?
Oh, my God. I know, it's ruined dating for me. Ruined it.
I either say you've got to marry a pleasure dom or no one else.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, where's my old mobile? So we went to his house and he was like, oh, I'd really like to show you my suits. I'd really like to show you. And I was like, okay, Dave, yeah, fine, no problem. And, you know, sat in his lounge and he goes and gets dressed into his suit. And I'm thinking, you know, nice three-piece suit, maybe. Maybe it's, you know, something Savile Row, whatever. No, he comes on full PVC mask, black and white, Mark, full on with a cape. And he sat there, and all you can see is his eyes, and he's got a little, like, round mouth coming out. And he's like, do you like me now? Do you like me now? And he's flapping his little cape, and he's going around the room. Just like a peacock. And he looked like a fucking train spotting accountant beforehand. Here he is. You like it? You like me, mistress? Flapping away. Absolutely going for it.
Did you...
Pissed myself. What do you think I did? No, you can't, because, you know, you're trying to be like, oh, it's lovely, so day. So sexy. Oh, you'd be good.
Thank you.
There you go. If you ever go into it, I want 10% finder's fee. I think I've still got his number somewhere.
But I would laugh in Dave's stupid little cape face.
Yes, cape face.
Dave cape face.
Dave cape face.
Phone us.
Is anything top Mothman? Could anything ever top Mothman?
Very tricky. It is very tricky. That's just one of my favourite ones. But there's so many. There's the Bin Man. Oh, there's the bin man.
Oh, God. What?
Yeah.
The bin man.
He phoned me up every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on the dot, every Saturday morning, because that was when his bins got taken out. So I had to do this whole telephone role play with him. And I do this in, like, I did a stand-up show about it. And I do this in the stand-up show. And it was basically, I had to tie him up in a bin bag. But it would be like, oh, you're there, mistress. Yes, I am. And Jerry, his name was Jerry. And he'd be like, oh, what are you wearing? Well, Jerry, I'm wearing my hobnail boots and my high-vis jacket. Oh, are you going to get in your truck, Melody? I'm getting in my truck, Jerry. I'm getting in my truck. Oh, yes, get in your truck. I can hear your truck. It's in my driveway. My truck is in your driveway, Jerry. And I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to go. Oh, I'm in bed, mistress. Come and get me. I'm coming to your bedroom. And I'm going to tie you up. Yes, tie me up, mistress. I'm going to tie you up, Jerry. And I'm going to put you in my bin bag. Oh, is it the one with the little yellow ties? Yes, Jerry. It's the one with the little yellow ties. Get in my bin bag and I'm going to throw you over my shoulder. And I'm taking you downstairs in my bin bag. And I'm going to put you in the lorry. Oh, crush me, mistress. Crush me. I'm going to get in the cab and I'm going to pull the lever, mistress. Pull the lever. I'm going to pull the lever and I'm crushing you. Oh, I'm in with the bin bags and the recycle. You're in the bin bags, Jerry, because you're not good enough for recycling. I'm going to crush you and I'm going to take you to the dump, Jerry. Oh, yes, take me to the dump. But first, I've got to reverse this thing. Beep, beep, beep. And that was when the phone would just go dead, just absolutely harumph. The sound of a bin truck reversing.
That was
the absolute climax.
I don't know, from your storytelling... I don't know if I'm turned on or not. I'm confused.
It's the mixture of sex and bins. It's like the opposite of, like, yes.
Like, you do you, Jerry, but you're very good.
Right,
I don't know how we move from bin man.
I don't really know how we move on from there, but I'm going to lower the tone slightly. I'm sorry. Were there any negatives? Do you have any bad experiences? Or, like, because I wonder what made you stop doing it.
Yeah, there's always going to be negatives. But when we say there's negatives, what people like to jump to, because they love a bit of misery porn, is they think, oh, did you get beaten up? Or, you know, and it's like, no, but the amount of time wasters and the amount of times you have to say to people, don't call me from a private number, the amount of people that were making appointment but didn't show up, the amount of times you were like, oh, I really need to pay the rest of the rent this month, so what I'll do is I'll stay in waiting for a phone call rather than go out with my mates, carrying two phones around, being Billy Two Phones, you know, yeah. Like all that stuff. And it's that kind of stuff for me that got on top of me. And also just having to clean every time. Can you imagine? You had to make, you know.
That's prep.
It really is. The overing and the bed making and the towels.
Oh,
and
it's, no.
Yeah. And it just, for me, I saw that I, you know, wasn't really enjoying it. And again, with the crash, because there were so many people coming on to intersex work. So you get guys that were haggling, and it was just like, I just really wanted more to go into doing what I'd always wanted to do, which was performance and comedy. And I started from like my 30th birthday, I started doing a comedy course. I got a comedy course for myself and I started doing that. And then one day when I was on Twitter, I found out all these things about sex worker rights and all these ways that these women were being stopped from telling their stories. They weren't being able to go into places like a lot of feminist spaces at the time weren't accepting sex workers. They were deliberately keeping them out. It's a lot better now, fortunately. So I thought, well, I know I have a voice and I know I want to use it. Mm. So that was what inspired me more to go into comedy, to start talking about sex work, because I wanted people to stop thinking that sex workers are these beleaguered, abused, poor souls who can't do anything for themselves. I want you to see me and go, oh, okay, oh, fine. You know, this is what a sex worker looks like, and be able to draw people in with comedy and with funny stories and being able to say, but we need a change.
Can we just touch on the sex worker rights for 2 seconds? Because I don't know too much about that.
So at the moment, the laws in this country mean that that sex work is legal, but it's under a very difficult framework. So at the moment, we can be sex workers in let's say in a flat, but you can't work with anyone else. So you're on your own by yourself. And that's what we want. We want to be able to work with other people. We want other people to be in the flats with us. And that just, you know, seems to make sense, but it can be used in various different ways. So, for instance, we had raids in Soho a few years ago. No one was actually charged with anything, but they just had the right to pull all these poor girls out in the middle of the streets, in the middle of the night, in winter, just for some bullshit law saying, oh, you can't work together, when we want to work together. We want the same
and
laws.
You should, should be able to work together.
Exactly. And it also means that it might make it difficult to have condoms on the premises. Condoms have been used before. There's been girls who've like worked in flats together, and because they're worried about police coming in, they've had to like hide condoms, not have condoms, because that can be used as evidence against you. We want to be able to have people who are abusers and coercive, we want them to be arrested rather than the girls themselves. At the moment, it's all on us. It's all on the sex workers. And all that effort and all that money is going more into arresting sex workers than it is on arresting the perpetrators of trafficking and coercive control.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It's so ridiculous. And we're working under 48 different... There are 48 different constabularies in the UK. So it's 48 different ways in which people are interpreting the laws in England. And at the moment, you can have like amazing places like Leeds and Manchester, where they've got a safety zone and they're working with the girls to make sure that they're safe and they realise they're vulnerable. And they're, you know, very, that, you know, that moment in Happy Valley where she turns around and she's like, they're vulnerable women.
Yes.
Like, we've got people who are amazingly and working like that. But then you can have people in a different part of the country, like in Bournemouth, there was one woman who was working as a maid in a brothel, and a guy had a heart attack, and all the girls scarpered because they knew that they'd get arrested, and this maid got arrested because she stayed behind to give this guy CPR.
Oh my God.
And at the end of the day, these are women who are all working together. They're not doing anything wrong. They're just trying to work together for safety.
Yeah.
So we just want to make sure that there are set rules in place that concentrate more on the perpetrators of coercion and abuse rather than based on sex workers. And also another thing, if you are charged with sex work, with solicitation and working together, then you then have that on your criminal record forever.
Oh, so if you did kind of want to go into like other employment, then that would come up on your record and stuff.
Exactly. So you're therefore, it's the laws that have trapped women into sex work.
Oh, for fuck's sake, what in the 19th century?
I know, and fines as well. If you get a fine, if you're a sex worker, how are you going to pay that fine? You're just going to do more sex work.
Yeah, of course.
So it's more that the laws are trapping women into sex work.
And also, this isn't
something that's new either. This has been going on literally, like, yeah, you bring it up, yeah, the whole 90s. Like, this has been going on,
yeah,
for centuries.
Yeah.
Why have we not caught up?
Because we don't, no one wants to put their head above the parapet. No, right, one wants to be the MP that says, let's decriminalise sex work, even though Amnesty International, the WR, everyone's saying we need it, yeah, decriminalised to make it safe. And at the
and how many MPs? Oh, no. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. I know.
It kind of makes me like think back to like when homosexuality was still illegal, and I like, you know how we think now, how, why, yeah, how could that have ever been? My hope is that in like 10-20 sooner, much, yeah, sooner, but like we will get to the point where completely, we go, oh my god, yeah, do you remember when sex work was illegal? Like, that's crazy, isn't it? That's wild.
People think, you get like the Daily Mail or the Daily Express going, brothels on every corner, and it's not like that. We just want to work in flats, we want to be subtle, we don't want a massive neon sign saying whore. I mean, okay, I do, but only if it's made by Tati Divine and around my neck. Any sex worker you speak to, if you say what you're most afraid of, it's not going to be clients, it's going to be the laws, because the laws are empowering abusers, because an abuser can turn up and they can go for it, but they're not the one. If a sex worker goes to the police, she's not guaranteed that the police are going to go after them, but she is guaranteed that they'll ask her a lot of questions, they'll look into her, they'll look into all the finances, and they won't go to the police because they're more afraid of the police and the prosecution and the persecution than they are.
It's disgusting. That's actually made me really angry. Like, something I hadn't, to be honest, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't really considered. I didn't know
the extent
of how bad it was.
You're saying, like, you know, the law is empowering abusers is wild.
Yeah.
It is wild. Is there anything that, like, we can do and listeners can do?
Yeah, there is. So there's a wonderful charity called the English Collective of Prostitutes. Join their Twitter feed, join their mailing list. What they're brilliant at doing is sending round petitions. You can send a letter to your MP, you can sign the petitions, just small things like that, but it builds momentum. Yeah. Go to marches. The ECP are great at organising marches. There's other things like National Ugly Mugs. They're a charity, and they're something that sex workers sign up to for dangerous clients. Mm. So if there's a dangerous client, you get a text saying, beware of such and such.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a really good service.
That's cool.
When you see a story about sex workers and about, you know, someone being trafficked or something, it's about having a look at it from the perspective of a sex worker. Everyone thinks that a sex worker is going to be something out of Taken. You know, it's going to be this blonde hair, blue eyed woman who's been taken off the street and she'll never see her family again. She's sold off, rather than people who look like us, you know, and people who are just doing it because we just want to be able to afford a bit of an holiday in Marbella and...
Yeah. Love that. Mobs, yeah.
Mobs, a bit of a trip to Mobs. Who wants to be able to pay our rent, you know?
That's it. It's a job.
Yeah, live Full through stop. The cozy lives, man, you know.
It's got to live through the cozy lives. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for that. That's really important. And, I definitely feel more, like, empowered and more educated that we can, like, do something and help. We've known you for an hour. Right, I've never met someone more suited for the job that you are currently doing as comedy. I think you are so, like, right?
So
like,
funny.
So funny. So born for it. So, like, perfect. And I love that you've got your niche of talking about sex work, because you can bring the funny to it and the real to it, and then also there's a call to action as an end, and I think that's just fantastic. Like,
thank you.
I'm buzzing for you.
Oh, that's
your best friend.
Oh, do you know what? That's so. Oh, no, you're both my
best friend. You're my old best friend. Come up with a funny story about a Mothman, and then we'll talk.
That's so great, because sometimes you can feel I've had to come off to it, because sometimes you can feel like you're fighting on this side, but some of your biggest people who are against you can be on the same side. Some people don't think that sex work should be funny. Some people think that it's, it's a tale of a happy hooker. And it's like, no, it's the tale of a lazy hooker. It's the tale of a lazy hooker who went through, you know, the same kind of bad shit that you go through
in a job, because sex work is a job.
It's a job.
Yeah, you go through the same shit of like having to sit there and do your accounts and having to sit there and have another time waster, having to sit there and just want to turn your phones off, you know. It's that's the kind of thing. So it's really nice to hear when people
genuinely, thank you.
Yeah, great job. And I think, what are you doing now? You're still doing a lot of stand up.
Well, I haven't done stand up for a while, but I do a podcast for the Metro called The Smut Drop.
Oh, yes.
I do want to get back into stand up and performance. Indeed. I do miss it, but you know, it's sort of, I haven't just, I've been sat on my ass for 4 years. So last thing you want to do is stand up.
That has to be your opener when you go back to it, please. Thank you. She's reading it for you. I love this. And if and when you do, can you please tell me? Because I need to be, like, we need to be in the front row.
We will be there.
Come along, but also come along to Indulge. Come to Club Indulge. Like, yes. I haven't talked about it, but I'm going to tell you now.
Thank you.
I also do, I run an event for fat people, basically. It's just, it's a really great vibe. And it's not about fat girls meeting men that fancy them. It's about fat girls meeting other fat girls.
Nice.
It's about fat girls going, I fucking that. Love your dress. Where'd you get that from? It's about smoking. You know when you go into a smoking area of a club and you're like, you're my new best friend. It's like that. Yeah. Fat girls.
It's the club toilets.
Yeah. And it's just full. And like, we like any creepy blokes, I chuck them out straight away. I don't allow them. We have blokes, yeah, because I understand like the dating scene is very toxic and small, so girls want to come out and they do want to meet guys who have a preference. So some of them are allowed in, but they have to be on their best behaviour. They're not allowed to fuck around. I am the be all and end all. I'm the alpha and the omega in that blade. So anyone who's up to any dodgy shit, they get chucked out.
Is it like a mix, like a dating mix, or it's just an event? Come, like, come
it's just
along
a club night.
Girl.
It's a cheesy club night. We play like S Club 7.
No, stop it.
She will now break into song, everybody.
Yeah. I did get tickets to see them live. Of course I did. How they sold out 2 dates at the hotel, I don't know.
Yeah, really? we played cheesy tunes. It's in a pub in Tower Hill, and we clear the floor, so we have a dance floor and everything.
That sounds amazing.
And we've got loads of seats. It's so important to me. Like, I know it sounds like, oh, it's a pub in Tower Hill, but it's got loads of seating.
Thanks, God.
That's so
I can give you half hour of dancing.
Anymore. I can't wear heels, can't stand up for more than 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we don't have to wear heels, do we?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, my God.
No, okay, you're allowed to wear whatever you want. It's all
this
about.
This sounds amazing.
It's all about the fat girls for me. Just all about the fat girls.
So, where can we find out more about it? Because I know that lots of people listening will be like, literally, I want to go.
Yeah, I can hear them now being like, please just tell me the information. We need to come.
So, it's called Club Indulge, and it's just club-indulge.com. We've got Instagram and a website and everything. Sign up to the mailing list, and we've got a lovely Facebook group. And if you want to find out more about me, Miranda Kane, Kane with a K on Instagram.
Miranda, that has been definitely Lauren's favourite ever episode.
Oh, you don't understand.
We have loved having you on. Thank you so, so much for coming to talk to us today.
Thank you. I've loved it. Thank you.
Laura, you'll be shocked to know that that episode was one of my favourite we've ever recorded.
Really, Lauren? I had no idea.
Mostly because I can't believe we found someone louder than me.
I was just about to say that. Like, how does it feel?
I think Miranda makes me look like a wallflower, an introverted wallflower. Yeah. I just buzzed off her so much. I found everything she says so interesting. I'm so pleased that we were able to give that topic the platform.
Yeah, it was a great episode. A huge thank you to Miranda for coming on. Before we go, there was a post in the Facebook group that I just wanted to mention because I loved it so much. So Liz, hi Liz, if you're listening, she posted asking if anyone had done any solo trips. She says, I really want to push myself and go out of my comfort zone, but I feel like I'm always putting it off. Maybe because of my weight. So many of you guys jumped in and shared your experiences about solo trips. Laura said, it's brilliant. It will change your life. Do it. Sasha said, I went to Budapest for 5 days last year for my first time solo traveling, and it was amazing. Was able to see the city at my own pace, try new food, and I even went to a thermal spa. Fancy. She says, I've always held myself back from traveling because of my weight, but I gave myself that push last year. I highly recommend it, and it's a definite confidence boost.
That's amazing.
I love all of this. I love that so many people came in and talked about this experience. And I love that hopefully Liz feels more like confident to go out there and do it because of what everybody else said. And also I want to say I totally empathize on the putting off travel because of your weight thing, because I obviously did that for years, didn't I? And then I finally went on holiday last year, said stop being a knobhead, went on holiday and absolutely loved it. And I don't want anyone out there to, if you're able to go on holiday but you're stopping yourself because of your weight, just stop that. Stop it now. You've been told. Thank you very much.
I always try and remind myself that holidays are a privilege, and then that kind of tries to like shift my mindset into like it's a privilege, like rather than like oh god, like that kind of thing. So that always helps me. But Elaine, lovely Elaine, commented after everyone's amazing messages. She said that she has been inspired to travel alone now after reading all of these comments. She says, we only live once, right?
Oh my god, YOLO, yes. And this makes me want to go traveling too. If you're going on holiday this year, why not get out a bikini for the first time like I did last year? It was awesome, and just have the best time. I feel so buzzy that we have our Facebook group and everyone's helping each other to just YOLO.
Me too. It's brilliant. It's the best. It's one of the best things that we've come out of this podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really hope that you found today's chat interesting. And if you ever want to get in touch with us, you can email golove@crowdnetwork.co.uk. And if you want more of us before our next episode, you can check out our Facebook group, which we just mentioned. All you need to do is search for Go Love Yourself Community. We are also on Instagram and our handle is @GoLoveYourselfPod.
You can also support the show by subscribing on Patreon or Apple Podcasts, where you can get ad-free and early episodes for £1 a week, or you can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. And remember to check out our YouTube channel. Hi guys, just search for Go Love Yourself Podcast or click the link in the episode description. Thank you so much for listening. I've absolutely loved it this week, and I hope you have a great time. We'll see you next week.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.